Blog Talk Radio.
Well, this is Calvin Ford, and I want to welcome you to another episode of the Strategically Prospection Broadcast. Tonight, we're talking to Dr. Partition, our special guest, Dr. Ray Patra.
There are diversities of gifts, but the same spirit.
God is unifying His children from across the globe to join Word of Life Ministries, Women of Virtue, and Men of Valor, along with Apostle Ernest
and Prophetess Barbara Taylor, to this year, 2011, Word of Life Ministries,
Men and Women's
Prophetic Prayer Gathering, entitled Kingdom Explosion,
Dual Invasion 2, September 16th
and 17th at the beautiful Renaissance Hotel
in Schaumburg, Illinois,
and September 18th
at Word of Life Ministries in Beach Park, Illinois,
where miracles flow daily. This year's speakers are
Bishop Harold Calvin Ray,
Pastor Brenda Ray,
Apostle Stephen Garner,
Apostle Norris Johnson, and Prophetess Sheila Spencer.
If you don't want to miss this explosive move of God, registrations are now being accepted. Please visit us at www.wordoflifeministriesintl.org
or call 847-263-9860. All for the kingdom. Don't miss this awesome move of God. Watch God show up and show out.
Back to the Strategically Prophetic Radio broadcast. The clip you just heard was an announcement for the Word of Life Prophetic Gathering that will be held in Schaumburg, Illinois this month. The Word of Life International webpage. Check out Prophet Taylor. Check out the event. Bishop Harold Calvin Ray will be there. Dr. Stephen will be there. And the host of others. All right, well, let's get started with the show on tonight. I just want to welcome everybody out to the show. If you're listening in, I want to thank you for listening in. This is going to be a powerful show on tonight, and I can't wait to get started. And now tonight's topic is about the doctrine of impartation. The doctrine of impartation is a doctrine and a teaching that, you know, as a prophet, I feel, and as a minister, as an elder, I feel, and as a pastor, you know, I just feel and I know that it is an important doctrine. It's an important doctrine that you need to get a lot of purpose from, but it is key to understanding how God operates in the earth realm and how the anointing operates, how God uses the anointing in the physical realm, and how the anointing is transferred, how God gets his vision accomplished in the earth realm, and how his will moves in the earth realm. I think a lot of people either just don't teach on it because they just don't know about it, or they know about it, and a lot of people reserve it for their inner circle. But if we could grab hold of this principle and use this principle of the doctrine of impartation, I think it will be very, very powerful. And if you can grab a hold of it, it will change your life. And so on tonight, we have a couple of guests, a couple of fellow prophets, Prophet Gray, Prophet Patrick Gray, and Prophetess Archer Gray, and they are here on the line with us tonight. How are you guys doing?
Wonderful. How about yourself there, Prophet Ward?
I am great. I am great. And Prophetess Archer, how are you?
Blessed. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. And so we want to get into this topic on tonight. We want to go in depth and we want to share. We want to get, I want to say, down and dirty with the topic. But we want to get into it because there are a lot of people today. You know, we have a lot of people, and again, I call it Facebook ministry. And I'm going to have y'all talk about, I'll have y'all get into that. But, I call it Facebook ministry. An airhead gospel. We have a lot of people just popping up on the scene saying they're called to be an apostle, an elder, a teacher, a prophet. And again, I always say I feel that a lot of these people have found their licenses and certifications in Walmart, somewhere on aisle five or something like that. So I think a lot of people just find their certifications and just find this stuff or buy it or do whatever they do, but they have not put in the time or the work necessary to walk and fulfill that office. And so when you're talking about being able to fulfill an office, you're talking about being able to be sent out. The apostolic word, the apostolic, the word apostle means sent one. So when you say apostolic, you're talking about sending people out. You're talking about being trained and then being sent out. Jesus told us, Jesus gave the command, go ye therefore into all the earth. He told that to the apostles. We look at that as the Great Commission and the commission of the church. There was a transference of authority, and there was a transference of power there. So let's get into why are there a lot of people who are in ministry who feel that it's necessary or who feel that they don't need to have a covering? So let's talk about that. Well, why are there a lot of people in ministry that feel that they don't need to have a covering because they are the highly anointed prophet, prophetess, apostle, bishop, reverend, deacon, doctor, pope of the Church of God in Christ in heaven, hell, and on earth? Why do you think, let's talk about that for a minute, why do you guys feel that people, you know, don't feel that they need a covering? And what is the importance, and why do you feel it is important to have a covering, if not but for a season in your walk?
That's a very good question. And, you know, we were touching on this earlier as we spoke about, you know, natural things. I'm prior service, I'm prior military. And one scripture in the Bible that jumps out at me is the centurion. As he approached Jesus, and because his servant was grievously ill, and Jesus said that he hadn't seen so much faith in Israel, because the man said that Jesus was going to turn and go to the house and heal the servant, but he said, the centurion said, I'm a man of authority and a man under authority. Just speak the word. So what I'm saying is that the centurion wasn't a Jew, but he was a man who understood order. You know what I mean?
Right.
And that's one of the things I think that we find in the church these days. I can't be you know, some big name in the world. So I can come to the church. I can rent out a building. I can grab a sign, call myself, and be like the movie Apostle. And I kid about this a lot, but that man of God took himself to the river, dipped himself in the water, came up an apostle, ordained by himself. That's disorder. Even Jesus'
right.
ministry, he said he only does what his Father says. So even Jesus had someone that was over him, someone that he answered to. I look back at my natural life, again, being a soldier. I remember that I was what we call high speed in the military. I went through the ranks quickly. But I look back at what I was taught and how I was taught. I look back to a gentleman, Sergeant First Class Tony Anguiano. He's a Milwaukee police officer, probably retired by now. But I remember the mentoring that was necessary to move me along those ranks so quickly. I remember the teaching and the tutelage that he gave me. So I'm making a long story short here. You need someone to mentor you along the way, because obviously there's people who have gifts, but a gift that is not honed, that is not skilled, is a maverick gift. It's a gift that's going to lead people, not just yourself, into deception, but it's going to lead other people into deception, thinking that they can do that same thing without having any accountability to anybody. And I think that's the biggest thing, accountability. If I'm not accountable to anybody, I can do what I want, I can say what I want, and I can just move around. There's no chasing. Even the word says, God, whom God loves, he chastens. So there has to be
right.
some accountability, I guess, is what I'm getting to. Does that make
there
sense to you?
That has to be some accountability. So let's talk about, you know, this is the earth realm. You know, you got people say, okay, I'm saying God told me to go do this, so I'm going to go do it. What? I'm saved. I'm grown. God told me to go do it. I'm going to go do it. I don't need no pastor. Because we know you got a lot of men out there with this syndrome that, you know, they're grown. They don't have to listen to another man, and I'm grown, and so I don't have to do this, that, and the other. And they grew up on the streets of Detroit, and they grew up in the slums, and they just grew up with no food and nowhere to live, and they just, you know, they just came out of the worst of the worst. But, you know, men get in the church, and I don't have to listen to another man, and this, that, and the third. So what is it that we can really zoom in to tell men, per se? Let's talk about just individually. Being a part of the church, to emphasize the role of the pastor in their life as they are leading their family, as they are taking care of their life?
Well, first of all, let's deal with that issue of pride, because that's the biggest thing I hear. As you were saying, you know, these men come from these areas that, you know, they may, and it sounds like dysfunctional areas, but the pride inside of them tells them that I don't need anyone to, no one can tell me what to do. I don't need anyone to shepherd me. I don't need anyone to do to guide me or lead me. That's pride, first of all, and that's extreme dysfunction. Because the biggest thing is, from what I'm hearing and what you said, there wasn't a father figure in the house to show them that, you know, that headship that God initially ordained. You know, the Bible says that Christ has had a man, and man has had a woman. Is that not the word? That's yes. Biblical order that God has already put into place.
So can we zoom in on that? Can we really zoom in on, since you hit there, because I really want, because, you know, a lot of ladies, when they hear, a lot of females or women, when they hear that, they make, you know, they think you're saying that, okay, you know, it's chauvinistic, the woman is over the man is over the woman, and then, you know, Christ over the man, and then the father is over Christ, when that is what the scripture says. So can we zoom in on that? Because Paul outlined in that scripture, he outlined the spiritual authority of the universe, whether he outlined the spiritual authority of the universe. It's not to say that the woman is less than the man. We know that there is neither male nor female in Christ. But we understand that by nature, God has this authority of creation and the order of creation and the order of the universe. So first, you know, with women hearing that, it's not to say that, oh, you know, you're under the woman. I mean, excuse me, you're under the male and you can't do this and you can't preach and you can't, you know, be a preacher or you can't be this, that, and the other. It's like the same situation. I personally, well, it's not personal, but it's a biblical thing. I don't believe in female apostles. Most, as soon as I say that, women say, oh, women can't preach. And no, that's not what I said. Women can preach, lay hands, ordain, travel, missionary, cast out the devil, preach. They can do all of these things. But when you go back to what Corinthians said, and I want you to, can you emphasize that it's not chauvinistic, but it's just talking about order and how God created it. If God said it, who are we to come against that? And give us some right understanding in that, because a lot of men have that understanding too. Oh, I'm over the woman, so everybody got to do what I say, even though, let's say, your wife is saved and you are not. So can you talk a little bit about that authority, and talk a little bit about that authority in a balanced, let's say, marriage or a balanced relationship, let's say with unequally yoked husband and wife per se, and more so from the male perspective. So if there's, you know, a male or somebody that's listening to this, they can really get some understanding concerning that. You know, you might not be saved, you still have authority over your wife, but there is a certain scope of that authority, and there's a way for you to operate in that.
Well, you gave me a lot, but let me just dissect this little piece by piece.
Hey.
First of all, we just gave you the Word of God. Now, the Word of God should trump anything and everything that you ever imagined, if you say you saved, that you ever imagined that the world has taught you. Because basically, if we're trying to buck against that word, first of all, we're not using the biblical system, the biblical order that God made. We're trying to take the world system and bring it to the church. And you think you talked about, you know, we're being chauvinist, and that's, you know, that's that 70s, 60s thing that the women said, you know, they talked about male chauvinist, where we can do everything a man can do. And now don't get me wrong, God did say in Genesis, let them have dominion, you know, so he did make the woman as a helpmeet, because biblically the man was here first. We know that. I'm sure no one will dispute that. God put him to sleep. We know that. No one will dispute that. He took from the man a rib and made him a helpmeet, because he said it's not good for man to be alone. Am I in the book?
All right.
Man of God.
All right. All right.
Okay. So now he did tell us to have dominion, and he did tell us to replenish the earth. So he brought us together as a team. So, but there is order. Again, we go back to that scripture. Christ is head of man, man is head of woman, and that's just that is what it is. Now, if you're looking at in a balanced marriage, I've been truly blessed.
When I saw the wife, I didn't want to be unequally yoked, because the Bible tells us not to be that. I know that some folks are in situations where they were married, and you know God saved one or the other. So whether it be the woman or the man, one of them got saved. So you get that place where you're unequally yoked. But God sent me a good saved Holy Ghost filled woman, and you know I'll be the first to admit I took that scripture and kind of ran with it. God said, I'm the head of woman. You know what I mean? And didn't mm-hmm. take it. And the spirit that God intended, we're still a team. She is my helpmate, but I'm not to run roughshod over her also. When
right.
it comes to decisions, ultimately it's my responsibility to take care of my wife and my family, but we're still a team. I am still in charge. I am still the spiritual head of my household. I am still... ultimately, when it comes down to it, I still have to make the decisions for our household after we talk. You know what I mean? There's sometimes
right.
we won't be able to talk. I just have to make that decision. But this is how God ordained it, and I'm going to stop talking a little bit and let my wife talk from her perspective of this whole situation. Would you?
Yes.
Like to
let the prophetess take the helm.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. I totally agree with what has been said so far. And as I was in the chat room too, I was agreeing with a sister is that, you know, we as women, we cannot take the place of a man, and the man cannot take our place either. And what happens is when we start crossing over and doing a job that is not our particular job or what God has assigned us to do, we have a lot of repercussions as a result of that, meaning a lot of times we get physically sick, mentally we have issues, all kinds of things begin to happen to us because we're crossing over in a role that is not ours. Now, as it has already been mentioned, that man is the head of his wife, as Christ is the head of the church. And so we have to keep that in mind.
Hello.
Yes. Were you calling in for a question, or you were just listening in?
Hi, Prophet. It's me. How you doing?
I am great. I'm great.
I just have a comment. That's what I was calling.
Got a comment? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Could you hold, and then I'm gonna bring you in.
Okay. No problem.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. So as it was already mentioned that man is the head of the wife and Christ is the head of the man, we have to keep that in our mind as women. And what I was going to say in the chat room, I was going to say that we women, we have plenty to do. So if we just stay in line with what God has given us to do, we shouldn't even worry or even think about crossing over into the roles of a man. Now, I also have a show, a prayer show that I do on Saturday mornings, and what I've done is I've talked about the role of a man. And what God had given to me was that the man is supposed, he has many duties. He's going to take care of his family. He's going to provide for the family. He's going to protect the family. He's going to win the bread or go get the money for the family. He's considered what we call a king. And so when a woman is put into that position to try and do all of those things and have a husband, now this is if you have a husband, because sometimes you have to do those things when you're single, but I'm talking about if you're married. When you have to go out and you try to do all those things and try to take over your husband's role, you are walking in dangerous territory. You are walking in rebellion.
Now,
so,
Prophetess, can
mm-hmm.
I get you to hold that thought? I want you to hold that thought. We have a comment. We have a comment. Hello, you are on air.
Yes, good evening, Prophet. And I want to acknowledge the Prophet and his wife. God bless the both of you. This is Prophet Rosalind Jennings. From a single woman's point of view, we have to be mindful that there Now, I'm not here to bash the brothers because they are good single brothers that, you know, doing what God, but 99.9, I'm talking about the ones not stepping up. We have to be mindful that the men need to take their rightfully place in the homes, in the churches, in the communities. And, you know, I tell men all the time, if it weren't for women, it wouldn't be no church. Because a lot of men don't want to come to church and submit and serve. And I'm not trying to take a place of a man because, you know, I know my place. I have to be mindful that the men, I'm praying that the men will come together and pray for the men to rise up and take their rightful place. When the men rise up and take their rightful place, then the women wouldn't have to put themselves in that situation. I don't think nobody wants to be a single at home, you know, raising their kids or being a single person. And then when you're dealing with the men, they're not balanced. They're not. There's a lot of little boys trapped in the men's body, and a lot of times the men and the woman need deliverance. And we have to be mindful that it's a problem that's going on that needs healing, deliverance in the body of Christ. That's all I have to say.
Well, awesome. Well, thank you for listening. And go ahead, Prophet Gray.
That's a very valid point. She said something very key. Deliverance needs to come forth. Because initially, if you remember when we started this conversation out, we conversation out using the example of men who've been in a dysfunctional family. So that little boy syndrome may be there, but there needs to be leaders who can deal with that. Leaders who can actually father these men and raise them up to be the men of God that God has called them to be. I come from a single family home. You know, my mom had a boyfriend, and the only thing he taught me was to work. He didn't teach me to be a man, but the Bible says if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. There's a renewing of your mind through the washing of that word. So we're submitting ourselves to that word. If we're humbling ourselves before the mighty hand of God, because one thing about a man, pride is strong. And Prophet Ward, I know you can attest to this. We have to continually go before the throne of grace and ask God to take any proud thing out, because he said he despises even a proud look. So
right.
there is some deliverance that needs to come forth. There is some maturity that needs to come forth. But we need to take the word at face value and get rid of those old things. If it don't line up with the word of God, we need to get rid of it. We need to speak the word and find out what a true husband should really be. We need to speak the word, and we need to find out who a true man is. You know, the one thing I look at David, and David is one of my favorite biblical characters, a man after God's own heart. The one thing about him, he wasn't perfect. Murder on his hands.
Right.
Lust in his eyes. But the one thing David had was humility. He would go before God and say, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I'll be whiter than snow. That's the one thing as men we need to begin to submit ourselves to this word and get rid of that pride. Because I'll be the first one to say I'm not perfect, but when something's pointed out to me, I'm humble enough to take that chastening. Because it's a troubled time when God won't chasten you, when you're not hearing that there may be something wrong. Or if you're too prideful to hear even from a little child. I heard from my 18-year-old daughter, you know, this is something that Daddy, maybe I can help you with. But, you know, pride would tell me that she's 18 years old. She's young, but she can't help me with anything. But my heart was open and my ears were attentive to hear the voice of the Lord, because God can use anyone he chooses.
Now watch this. Now, that's a mouthful. And now you said also that, well, prophetess,
let me just add one thing. One of the guys, not again, like we said, not bashing what she said, because she brought up some very valid points.
Yeah,
I just want to make sure that I put that out there.
Well, and that's what I want to get into, because see, and it's sad, but see, you have, and I hear this. I've heard this also recently too. Did someone turn their volume, like, all the way up? I hear squelch in the background.
Okay, I'm going to turn down just a little bit.
I hear that.
Is that better?
not really, but it's okay. It's okay. We'll go for it. It might not be you. It might be something else. But check this out. Now, you know, it's a shame. I heard someone else also mention, you know, you have a lot of pastors that are single, but they try to manipulate the women that are in the congregation, though they are single.
Jesus.
So you have a lot of people who are unpurified. They're in the pastorate. And, you know, it's real sad because they're really asking, they're really, to me, when you're in a position like that and you're doing those things like that, you're really asking for God to kill you and get you out of the way. That's what I hear when I see people doing things like that. So you have people who are manipulating their position. And I know one of the things, and it's sad, but then, you know, you deal with people who have, you know, let's say you deal with women who want to serve men. There are an abundance of women who are doing their thing. They want to serve ministry. They in a position where they have to do what God called them to do, because you'll be in a season or an area where you're surrounded by a bunch of men who either are not stepping up to the plate, or a bunch of men who are abusive with their gifts, or they're just unspiritual. So we understand the Deborahs. We understand the Deborahs that are out there. They do what they do in ministry. Now the balance to that is this. The balance to that, I want to say, is this, and then I'm gonna turn it back over because I just wanted to mention a couple of things. The balance to that is this. Esther was in a place and in a position where she was being ostracized. Okay, there were some things that were going on about her people, but she was in a position that was not a great position. She was in the king. She had the favor. Now, the position, she was not the king. She was not the number one person in charge. She didn't look like she had all that power, but she used, and if I can say it like this, I mean, I hate, well she used
she used what God gave her.
She used what she had to get what she needed. I know the song says, use what you got to get what you want, but she used what she had. She used what God blessed her with. She used her personality, her feminine wile. She used her wisdom. She used her ladylike charm. She used her submissiveness. She didn't overstep that bound, even in doing what God told her to do. And I think that's what a lot of women do. Though the men are abusive, though people do this, yes, you can separate yourself and do what you do. But I think a lot of women in this day and age feel the need to step on top of and to go forward and to go above their bound or above their limits when anytime we go above the limit, or anytime we step out of order, we are now in rebellion and witchcraft. And so God will always give us the means to do everything that he's called us to do within the scope or our sphere of influence that he has designed for us to have and that he has given us. If I am, you know, if I'm a prophet and I'm attending someone's church, I have a strong prophetic anointing, but I am not the pastor. Hello. So if I'm attending somebody else's church, they are the pastor, not me. Okay, so my anointing, I don't care how great it is, it's submitted to that pastor as a tool in the house. Now, if it gets to a point where it's clashing.
I'm sorry, I don't want to interrupt you, but you keep hitting that key thing, submission. Submitting to the word of God, submitting to the set man or woman of that particular house. That is, and that again, we go back to pride. You know, pride doesn't let us submit. And I know I keep beating this thing to death, but I just hear that so strong in the spirit. And the one thing, as a 17-year-old boy, you know, God allowed me to be shipped away from my home, put into a place in a barracks with 42 other men, just so I would, at a very young age, understand authority. Because, again, I came from a single-family home, you know, a single parent. And, you know, my mother was kind of the figure there, the authority figure. But God allowed me to see that and allowed me to, you know, so I know that there's a strong men's ministry in me. But this is what if there's any brothers on this line, I just want you to hear that. I want you to hear that God is calling you to humble yourself and submit to the leader that you're under. But also for leaders need to identify the gifts that are inside these mighty men of valor, which the prophetess before did say there's a bunch of little boys out there, but let's look past that little boy. Let's look past to the purpose and the plan that God has ordained for each and every man out there. And men of God, I urge you, I beseech you to step up, to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying even on today. He's calling you from that dry place. I hear a clarion call in the Spirit right now for men of God who may have even been hurt in the past from their dysfunctional upbringing, but to stand up, to accept what the word of God is saying, and come in line with order. And that right there, that's a word by itself, order. Let's come in line with the biblical order, what God has set. what God has set in order from the foundations of the world. Because you didn't see, again, I keep going back to even the order in the heavenlies. You've got God, the Father, you've got the Son, and then you got the Holy Ghost, who's the one that set aside the Paracletos, the one that that brings us the message, the one that assists us. But Jesus, anytime he prayed or anytime someone asked him, he said he did what his Father did. He didn't do of himself, even though he was Emmanuel, being interpreted, the word says God with us. Amen?
Amen. And so, you know, we're going to do right now, with that, we're going to take our first, with that, we are going to take our first break. I want to thank you guys for tuning in. You are listening to the Strategically Prophetic Radio Broadcast with your host, Calvin Ward. I want to thank our guest, Prophet Pastor Gray, Prophet Arthur Gray. Being on the show tonight, we are talking about the doctrine of impartation. Is it necessary? We're talking about having covenant in order. And if we're out of order, can God really bless you? Want to stay tuned. If you have a question, call in and log in to the chat.
There are diversities of gifts, but the same spirit.
God is unifying his children from across the globe to join Word of Life Ministries, Women of Virtue, and Men of Valor, along with Apostle Ernest
and Prophetess Barbara Taylor, to this year, 2011, Word of Life Ministries, Men
and
Women's Prophetic Prayer Gathering, entitled Kingdom Explosion,
Dual Invasion 2, September 16th
and 17th at the beautiful Renaissance Hotel
in Schaumburg, Illinois.
And September 18th
at Word of Life Ministries in Beach Park, Illinois,
where miracles flow daily. This year's speakers are
Bishop Harold Calvin Ray,
Pastor Brendan Ray,
Apostle Stephen Garner,
Apostle Norris Johnson, and Prophetess Sheila Spencer.
If you don't want to miss this exclusive move of God, registrations are now being accepted. Please visit us at www.wordoflifeministriesintl.org
or call 847-263-9860. All for the kingdom. Don't miss this awesome move of God. Watch God show up and show out.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning.
Well, that was the anointed Tammy Smith, formerly of the Chicago Mass Choir. She is a good friend of mine, and that song is Greatest Thy Faithfulness. You can look her up on cfavorite.com or look her up on the internet, and she's actually singing on Chicago Mass' new CD, so you can check her out. I want to welcome you back to the show. We're talking about the doctrine of impartation, why you need to be covered, and why we all need to be in order. Tune in. Well, we are back on the show. I'm telling you, that song right there, Tammy, every time I hear that song, that just took me, that takes you right in. It took me in. So if it ain't blessed nobody, it blessed me. Well, praise the Lord. So I'm going to just throw up some holy hands and say thank you, Jesus, and just move out.
Thank you.
So praise the
Lord. Yeah, let's bring you back, make you want to say thank you.
And look, just throw them up. Just throw them up. Just throw them up. Hey. That's awesome though. You know, it's just good. It's something different about the anointing coming through a vessel that's been submitted, that doesn't have pride, mm-hmm. that's been through some things in life. You can let the anointing just flow. It doesn't have to flow. It's almost like taking a big jar, take a jar and fill it with a bunch of rocks, and then pour the water in it, and then try to pour the water out. Versus trying to take a vessel that has no rocks in it, and then pour the water in, and then try to pour the water out. It's a different flow. It's a whole different flow where water doesn't have to go over the resistance of rocks to get out the spigot versus water that you can just flow freely out of the vessel wherever it's going. It has more power. It has more momentum when it comes out. It doesn't have to run into anything. The momentum of the water is not stopped because nothing is in the way of it. When the oil is in a broke, is in an earthen vessel that is has a spirit that's been broken before the Lord, it can just pour out. It does not have to go over top of rocks and mountains of disobedience, mountains of unforgiveness, because when you pour a liquid out, you will hinder the flow, the momentum, and the power and the velocity of that liquid when it's coming out, if there's something in between it. But if that water can just flow on out just like the oil, then oh, what a flow it would be, and oh, what an effect it would be. So let's just get back into the topic at hand. I just, you know, kind of had to throw that out there, praise the Lord. But let's get back to the topic at hand. You know, prophets, just be, you know, you got to, you know, I'll throw that out there. You're a prophet, you got to watch your preaching because you got to stay focused because you'll go to the left and to the right. But you got to kind of pull yourself back in to the topic. You got to know how to facilitate and expedite and close your messages. Focus in. So let's zoom back in on impartation.
I'm glad you said that because we did kind of stray from our topic initially, you know, talking about the submission of women. But I just want to go back to the scripture we were referring to, actually Ephesians 5 and 23, and I just want to read some commentary on this, if that's okay. In the commentary for Ephesians, the fifth chapter, verses 22 through 24, it says, just as Christ is not inferior to the Father, but is the second person in the Trinity, so wives are equal to their own husbands. Yet in the marriage relationship, a husband and wife have different roles to the Lord. A wife's voluntary submission arises out of her own submission to Christ. But Paul also hit something in that 25th verse, you know, husbands, love your wife, even as Christ also loves the church. One thing I look at, when I look at that marriage relationship and loving your wife, if we are the men of God that we should be, I mean, It may be taking this to extreme, but my wife kind of hit it earlier. We're almost abusing our wives, making them do something that's out of order, spiritually and even naturally. Does that make sense to you?
That makes sense to the person that's spiritual. I feel like that. That makes sense to the person that's spiritual. Because why would I'm a male, and I know how difficult and how heavy ministry is. And I'm working hard so that when I get married, I want my wife to have the choice to be able to do this. I know the weight of ministry now, so that's why when I get my wife, I want to be able to have her in the lap of luxury because the hell that she's going to have to deal with just by being in ministry, it's going to need to be balanced. When she's not in church and when she's away from the ministry, she's going to need to be able to relax, manicure, massage, go to the mall, here's your money, there's your car. It's going to need to be balanced. Because of what she's going to have to deal with. So I already know, she's going to have to be taken care of, well taken care of. So I understand.
Now, see, you said a mouthful right there. And I believe, you know, you asked me a question earlier, and I digress. You said, why are all these people calling themselves or naming themselves, you know, Bishop Littlebrook, Apostle Bigwig, and, you know, ace triple apostle and all that. And don't get me wrong, because I make light of it, because the gifts are very serious. The offices, the apostle, the prophet, very serious. The pastor, the teacher, because when you do anything for God, you do it with everything you have. And if you do anything for God, you do it because God called you. Because if you're doing it on your own, there's going to be shipwreck. You're going to cause not only yourself to be hurt, you're going to hurt other people and mislead people. And that's the one thing I've asked God, I just don't want to hurt your people. I don't want to be someone who leads people astray. I don't want to be one of those and the end time Paul talks about in, I believe it's 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, heaping themselves teacher having itching ears. I don't want to be the one of those people that speaks something that tickles the ears and causes people to follow me because I'm tickling their ears and not giving them the other unadulterated word of God. And I can't give them that unadulterated word of God if I'm not hearing from God, if I'm not called to the office and the position that God that I say I am. Anywho, that's a whole other story right there. But there's one other scripture I want to hit. It's First Peter, the third chapter.
I know you said that, but let's talk, like you said, with the women. We were talking about women in order. Okay, that's part of impartation, being in order, because you can't receive an impartation when you're in rebellion. Same thing about the apostles and prophets. If you operate in a gift and God ain't called you to be there, first of all, you're an apostle. What apostles ordained you? No one apostle can ordain another apostle. Hello? And what are you, a prophet? Well, where is the presbytery? The Bible says, when you go to the Bible, you would have, the gift was called out. And you have, like in the Old Testament, you had a prophet that is an itinerant prophet. We understand all that. But guess what? There was a presbytery. Though a prophet may have called and ordained you, the presbytery is still the one who confirms you, because it's within the collection of the presbytery and the collective wisdom of the presbytery that the totality of the voice of God is communicated. So anybody, all these people, popping up, you're a prophet. Where did you get your life? Who ordained you? What operating prophet who has evidence in the prophetic, who has tenure, who has people who can say that's a prophet, who came to you and recognized you? See, this was why when you had Samuel come and you had the Elijah, they anointed the next prophet. Their ministry was already known. So when they said you was it. Because guess what? I'm a prophet. I recognize the signs. I can see it. And if you're operating a gift that's not yours, you're out of order. If you're out of order, you can receive nothing from the Lord if you're double-minded. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Therefore, you need to go back to the drawing table. What did God really call me to do? And a lot of ministries go to the left and to the right because it's like, what is going on? So if you're operating the wrong gift, you're out of order, and you cannot receive the impartation that you need to receive. Because a lot of people are sitting under people that God never told you to sit under them. You're just sitting under them because you need a title, because you want to look great, because you need somebody to network with, because you need to be hooked up, because you want to preach here and preach there. God ain't calling everybody to have Bishop Jakes as their covering. God ain't calling everybody to have all these famous pastors as their covering. God has somebody in your local area that he's calling you to submit to that your great self don't want to submit to. That's why you ain't never going nowhere, and that's why your ministry ain't growing, and that's why they ain't going to never grow until you go submit to who God told you to submit to. You'll never get
You said a mouthful there because, about Samuel and Elijah, and with 1 Samuel 3 and 19, the Bible says that Samuel grew and the Lord was with him and did not let none, I didn't say one, none of his words fall to the ground. And in that 21st chapter, it said that the Lord visited him in Shiloh. So he just rested in the Lord. He rested in the anointing because obviously Shiloh stands for rest. So you said something very powerful there. There was evidence. There was not only was the anointing there, but there was evidence of that God was with him.
Hello?
I believe Prophet Ward may have muted himself out. Can you hear me, ma'am?
Oh, yeah, I'm here. I'm here. Praise the Lord. So, impartation. Now, and you know, impartation. So we talk about, you know, necessity. We've talked about the necessity of being in the order of God to really receive that impartation. We've talked about, you know, because we were talking about the order of the universe. The order of the universe is how God made everything in creation. And we have to really recognize the order of the universe or universal laws so and so we can operate in principle. It's the same thing in the spirit realm concerning spiritual authority. One of the things that I'll put out there, I know a lot of people call people their spiritual fathers and mothers in the gospel, which is totally out of line with scripture. Paul said, ye have not many fathers. We have to watch our phraseology, because by our phraseology, since the power of life and death is in the tongue, our phraseology will bring things to us or prevent us from entering into certain things because we don't watch our tongue. And Christ said, we will give an account for every idle word that we say. Paul told the people he had begotten them in the gospel because he was their father in the gospel. Christ, you know, tells us, you call no man father. We have one spiritual father and mother. That is God, because God is neither male nor female, but God is all encompassing. He is our spiritual father and mother, and in this earth realm, he's given us mothers and fathers in the gospel and mentors in the gospel to disciple us and to help us get to where we need to go to. Just like Jesus had those disciples. And I want you to touch on that too. And if we can get you to touch on that, I want to touch on the difference between a mentoring and discipling in comparison to the impartation, because you have a lot of people who attend people's churches and you think you're a son of that pastor just because you attend their church. So, you know, a lot of people say, I sit under Bishop Jakes, he covers me. Okay, well, do you have his spirit? You know, so a lot of people are sitting even in their own local churches. You call yourself a son or a daughter in ministry, but you do not have the spirit of that minister or that pastor. Therefore, you are not a son or a daughter. You're just a member. Unless you have the impartation of their spirit, unless you have that imparted into your life, which means an impartation is usually gotten through the laying on of hands, is where the impartation comes from. According to the scriptures, whether something is imparted to you, and we know there's impartation on the word, there's different levels, but that impartation to birth you out in that ministry usually comes with the transference of one anointing to another person by the laying on of hands, just like they used to do the blessing. And so there are a lot of people who think because you go here, you're a son or a daughter. Not necessarily true.
Well, can I just read the definition of impart?
Yes.
Let's just, because that's probably where we should have started. to impart is to share. It actually is to give others a part or a share of something that we possess. Originally, the word was used for the sharing of any sort of possession, but we generally use it, you know, for non-material goods. We impart knowledge, news, secret, happiness, loyalty, friendship, and such are possessions that these are things we lose. But the word impart is used 4 times in the King James and translates in the translation for the Hebrew verb and Greek a word which means to share. So basically, to impart, when we look at biblical, we're sharing the anointing. We're sharing the gift that God has given to us. Would you think that'd be a good definition of what we're looking for tonight? We're sharing the grace that's upon our lives.
And guess what? Oh Lord, I ain't trying to, and let's just talk about that thing for a minute, because guess what? You can only share. Share what you legitimately have, what you legitimately own. You can't share something. You can't tell me that you're gonna share a BMW with me. You don't own a BMW. You can't walk up to a BMW lot, holler my son, I'm gonna share this BMW with you. It ain't yours. You don't authentically own that. You don't have the title deed for that. You might be making payments on it. Now, I'm going to leave that all. Now, I'm going to get in trouble for this one, but I'll just say this. Lord have mercy, because the prophetic anointing. We got a lot of people that are connected to big pastors, and you're paying for an anointing. You're making payments on an anointing because you say, okay, I sit under this one, and as long as you're tithing a certain amount to that pastor, then you're under that pastor, and you think you're going to be anointed and walk after that pastor because you're sending them your tithe, or you're sending this, or you're sending that. But if they told you not to preach on Sunday, would you preach? If they told you don't go over here to preach, would you do it? True submission in the spirit. But when you connect that to a car, and I connected that because of car payment. A lot of people have cars. You don't own that car. You're making a payment on it. But a lot of people look at operating in an anointing like that. When you have a true and authentic anointing or something belongs to you, you're able to give it as you please. hello, in the Bible, when God told Moses to get some of those elders and take the spirit that is on him and give it to them so that they may be able to go out and help him do ministry. That's another reason for the impartation. Someone who has an authentic, genuine anointing can impart it. Now, could it be that a lot of people are not succeeding in ministry because you can't impart what you don't have? So could it be you ain't got nothing?
Wow. You hit exactly where I was going, because even as we know that in the first chapter of Joshua, it says, Moses, my servant, is dead. But if we digress into the book of Deuteronomy, the Bible also tells us that Moses laid hands on Joshua, and the same wisdom that you said was passed on to those elders was also passed on to Joshua. But it was something key about Joshua, too. Now, you're hitting some things. Joshua was the minister of Moses. What does minister actually mean? Minister actually means servant.
Servant.
There was a servant spirit. There was some prerequisite to receiving the impartation and receiving the anointing. Am I tracking with you there, brother?
You ain't. So you can. Okay, we're on a radio show. We ain't even at a revival. We're not doing a seminar, but I'm gonna let you go in here and do what you do.
Okay.
Because this is what happens, though. If people are listening in. See, this is what I love about it. A lot of people call themselves, when you get prophets and you know, you get people with the prophetic anointing talking, it's not just, oh, God is doing this, and it's not. You get insight revelation. You're getting in-depth revelation. It's not just cosmetic revelation. You're getting stuff that is only a byproduct of relationship and the spirit of revelation, wisdom, might, power of the Lord, the fear of the Lord. Things should be flowing. And you should be it should be flowing. It's almost like an atmosphere when Mary and Elizabeth met up. You know, there should be a leaping in the spirit. So there should be something there in the atmosphere when the prophetic anointing or the apostolic anointing is there. And it should be something that's in depth, not nothing topical, talking about this, that, or the other. But you should be able to go deeper. But continue on.
Now, I know when we talked before, I told you that God has really put Samuel on my heart, very, very heavy to minister about. And when it comes to that transferring to that impartation, we know the story with Samuel. His mom was at a place where she was being Hannah. She was being mistreated by Peninnah, the second wife of Elkanah, because she was barren. But she went to the temple. And begin to pray and begin to make a vow to the Lord. Lord, her womb was shut up. She said, now, God, if you give me this son, I will give him back to you. So first of all, when we look at Samuel was birthed into ministry. It is the one thing that I really like about what Samuel had. He not only got an impartation, which we'll get to Eli, he got an impartation of intercession from the womb, from his mother, who knew how to get to God in the first place, because she didn't go, you know, telling people a sad story. She went to the temple. She laid out before God. She entreated God for something. Entreated God to open her womb. Now, the one thing I like about Samuel, we see the gift that he's going to pass on. I mean, about Eli, we see the gift that he's going to pass on to Samuel, operating in that very first chapter. Because what he does, he sees her. First of all, he thinks she's drunk, because she's sorrowful of spirits, what the Bible says, but she's praying within herself and she's crying out to God, and she opens up and tells the man of God what she was praying about. And he looks at her. He says that she's going to have may God grant her the petition that she has. So God grants her the petition, okay? He gives her the son. And again, we started out, there's some conditions for impartation. You need a vessel given and submitted to God, which we've got in 1 Samuel, the first chapter, 11th verse. That's where his mom cried out to God, said she would give him to God. Okay, but again, I said it's interesting. Out of the adversity that Hannah endured from Peninnah, ministry was birthed. I mentioned that. Brought forth an intercession from the mother. So before he was formed in the belly, intercession was possessed inside of him. That's something that I don't think is normally brought out. That spirit of intercession was put in him, transferred to the mother. So there was an impartation from the mother.
Oh,
there was an impartation there. There was a – I beg your pardon?
No, I you know what? Because when you said that, I was reminded of Paul talking to Timothy about his mother Lois. But that's what I was reminded of when you said that.
Mm-hmm.
For a New Testament parallel to that Old Testament scripture. But you can go on. I just wanted to throw that out.
Okay.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
He was He was going to be a Nazarite from the womb. So, again, he was sanctified because they said no razor will come to his hair, which alluded to being a Nazarite. And she said there was she hadn't touched any strong drink or wine or anything like that. If you go back to Samson, it kind of gives you a prerequisite of what a Nazarite should be. And let's talk about the vessel the impartation come from. Again, I said Eli witnessed as his replacement was being birthed through the cries of the maidservant Hannah. We see the gift that Eli had. As soon as Hannah, you know, ended her prayer, he said that God was going to grant her, you know, the petition. But even the name that Samuel had, the name Samuel actually means heard of God. It indicated how God wanted to use him. And he was a faithful priest according to 1 Samuel 2:35. So if I can just read this to you. Again, mm-hmm. We're talking about the prerequisites for that impartation. I'm pulling up this scripture here, so just bear with me for a second. 1 Samuel 2:35. Okay. And it says, and I will raise up a faithful priest that shall do according to that which is in mine heart and in my mind, and I will build him a sure house, and he shall walk before mine anointed forever. And this is God alluding to Samuel in 1 Samuel, the 2nd chapter, and the 35th verse. A minister servant, in 1 Samuel 3:1, Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli, who was still God's anointed at the time. And I believe this is why God has really led me here, and I felt such a strong pull in the Spirit. We're at a place in time where we're seeing so many leaders falling, and you keep polluting it. Can I transfer something I really don't have? Can I really be apostle? Am I really a prophet? But here's the thing. We know that Samuel was a man called of, or Eli was a man called of God. So God brought forth his replacement, but even though Eli was out of order, Samuel submitted to Eli. That was something that just stirred something up in me, because I've been in places where things have been out of order, but yet we submitted. Yet we did what the Lord said. Even you think about David, how he was tormented by the king, but he said he wouldn't put his hand on him because he was God's anointed. But anywho, so he ministered before the Lord under Eli, who was still God's anointed. And the one thing that was interesting also about this passage of scripture is that the word of the Lord was there was no open vision at that time. But the thing that Samuel passed on to that Eli passed on to Samuel, he teaches him how to hear the voice of the Lord. That's the impartation that he got from him. And if you go back and read this in 1 Samuel, the 3rd chapter, verses 4 through 10, you know, Samuel hears a voice. He thinks it's Eli, again, still ministering to the man of God. Because at this point, Eli was at the point of almost being feeble because his eyes were dim. He couldn't see. So he had to have someone help him. So he goes back, I believe, 3 or 4 times. But finally, Eli realizes what's going on. He realizes that Samuel is hearing the voice of the Lord. He realizes that Samuel is in that place where he used to be, but instead of jealousy rising up, which is one thing I like about Eli, don't get me wrong, he was jacked up because you know his sons, Hophni and Phinehas, they were taking the offerings, running roughshod in the house of the Lord, they were laying with the women, and the word of the Lord came to Eli to give him warning. But he didn't keep his house in order, so he lost the anointing and caused a curse to go on in his old bloodline. But anywho, unfortunately for Eli, he gave Samuel the keys to hearing, because you know this is a progression. Samuel is being ministered and being mentored, not only mentored but imparted and molded through Eli's teaching. And he finally, you know, grows up and he becomes that prophet. But this is a thing that we see in modern day. There's a lot of pastors that had the anointing, that God's favor was upon them, but they begin to walk in rebellion. They begin to walk in delusion, thinking it's all them. But that anointing still has to go someplace. You know, you understand what I'm saying?
Exactly.
That anointing still has to be transferred and passed on.
See,
you know
exactly.
What I'm saying?
Exactly.
Go ahead.
Finish that.
But even though he was that out of order, the key thing is that Samuel ministered. Samuel served. Samuel was obedient. he was obedient to the man of God, and he received that gift of impartation that God wanted to hand on to him. Unlike Elisha, which Pastor Holloway kind of, we were talking about this because this is an awesome subject. Elisha took the anointing to his grave because his servant Gehazi was out of order. Do you remember Gehazi?
I know that. So you ain't said nothing but a word. And people think, you know what's funny? And you know what's funny about that? That we're laughing because we're prophets and understand that. And that's, you know, because you'll understand something. And it's a spiritual principle that before you give somebody that's an idiot something that's too great for them to carry or handle, then it needs to go on. It'll never be passed on before you give it to somebody that can be killed by it. If you do not know how to handle the presence of the Lord, it will kill you. And we know it almost got Gehazi, well, it got him in trouble because he, you know, the other facet of ministry, some folks want to get connected to people because of what you can get, and because of, you know, what they can get out of that. But like you said, if that anointing was there, if it has to be passed on. It has to be passed on. And it is in the earth realm, and if we could understand that anointing is in the earth realm, you can get it. The anointing is not a respecter of person. The anointing is a respecter of character and integrity and relationship with God and obedience.
And principles of God, yes.
You know what I'm saying? That's what it's for, so people could adhere to that and understand that the anointing is for the earth realm. We don't need it when we get to heaven. Lord have mercy. We don't need miracles when we get to heaven. Miracles are for here. The anointing is for here. So we're always trying to be so deep. No. God wants us to get all of that right here, right now. Miracles be every day. He wants all the anointing we can get. And see, that's why you see people who are pastors, because even like you mentioned, Eli, nepotism. We want to put our bloodline in the place of the priest. You know, we think our bloodline is going to carry on the anointing when God says, no,
can I just add this? A bloodline full of hell.
A bloodline full of hell and rebellion. Because you're connected by blood, that's a devil. And that's what folks do. You see ministries taken over by people's sons and daughters God is not telling everybody to pass ministry on to your bloodline. There are men and women who have served, who God wants you to impart that thing to, but because you built up a multi-million-dollar ministry or whatever, you want the money to stay in the family, so you bypass who God has called to pull in or what God has said to do. And can I bring this? Can I just say this? We got people in church because they tithe. You've been in the ministry 15 years, and you've been a good tither, and so now I'm going to put you in a position up here. You know, you've been a tither, so I'm going to put you up here as an elder. You can't even teach Bible study with your great self.
Jesus.
Look like the only thing you have done for the past 15 years was tithe. So
Jesus.
We need to put people who can do the job, not people who we want to do the job. And see, and that's where people get in trouble, and that's where, you know, a lot of the anointing and stuff is stunned. The anointing is in the earth realm. God is here. And if we can understand the secret to impartation is, you know what, let's use it like this. If I am under, let's say prophet grade is you and your wife. Let's say if I'm under you, okay, well, let's use my pastor, apostle and prophet is Taylor. Okay, I'm under apostle and prophet is Taylor. Okay, I'm under them. If I am obedient and I can submit to that, then all of the anointing, all of the trials and tribulations, all of the trials and tribulations that they went through that birthed that anointing out on them, if I'm under them, then that transfers to me, and I don't have to go through what they went through to get what they got. It automatically happens for me because I'm obedient. So now I can go.
You said a whole mouthful.
And I
can
trailblaze.
You said a whole mouthful.
You know what I'm saying? I can trailblaze.
You said a whole mouthful. Now, we just you talked about how are these, you know, these pastors, apostles, prophets, whatever, call to themselves, no covering. There's no fruit. There's no growth because they're out there trying to, you said now that they went through that and they passed on that anointing. But not only have they passed on the anointing, they've given you an impartation. They can also give you wisdom of things not to do. But I'm out there by myself cutting a trail. Maybe I'm called, maybe I'm not called, but ultimately I'm in straight rebellion because there is no one that I answer to. I say I answer to God, but okay, now if I answer to God, now my scripture may be a little bit out of line, but the scripture says, how can I say I love my brother? I mean, I love God who I can't see, but I don't even love my brother. You know what I mean?
Now, let's apply the principle to that scripture to what we're talking about.
I know I'm stretching it, brother. I know I was stretching it, but I'm just saying, how can I say I'm subject to a God I can't see, but I can't be subject to a man that's put on earth here to be my leader?
And there it is, right? There it is, right there. There it is, right there. And so the evidence, and can I just be spiritual? So the evidence, when I see pastors and leaders, and I look at their ministries, And you look around and you see, you know, rebellion, or you just see nothing ain't growing, this, that, and the other. These, to the person that's mature, I've been doing this for a minute, so I've been in churches and I understand. Those are telltale signs to me that pastors, your integrity is off. You ain't submitted yourself. You ain't got no covering.
Jesus.
You hard headed. You want to be over, but you don't want to be under. You want to be over, but you don't want to be under. You got people out there with their, you know, you got your ministry out there. You know, God called you to be an apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, you know, pope of the fourth kind, but you ain't even got a website. You ain't even got a
pope
website. I don't care how much you run your mouth, you ain't even serious about what God is calling you to do, because there are so many free websites you can get just to put information out. So you called to do all this, and you ain't, come on now. It's like when God called you to do something, there's some things that you must do. And so ain't nobody, you know, concerned about your gift and your little title or how much wisdom and stuff you have. What is your anointing producing? Because the anointing is the power of God. And the image of God is the ability to create. It's the power of creation. So what is your anointing creating?
Genesis 1:26.
You know, my pastors are in Chicago area. Beach Park, Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm over here. Their anointing can be felt on me. Their anointing is on me, and I know, see, and when I go out and I do what I do, I don't get in those syndromes where, okay, God, am I called, God? You know, you got people today, God, did you call me to do this today? And then the next day, am I really called to be a prophet? And then the next week, God, did you call me to pastor? And then the week after that, did you really call me to do this? No. I don't have those days. You know why? Because when I got prayed for and laid hands on, this thing was imparted to me. So there's no question about what I'm called to do. I know I'm called to be a prophet and to be a pastor and to do what I'm doing. That's not the issue. So you can tell people that are having these vacillations in the spirit on whether God really calls them to do this or do that, then you need to go back. That's evidence to you that you need to go back and sit down and sit under somebody and get a deposit in your spirit, because that validates you. When Jesus breathed on those disciples, He breathed on them, and see, that's the power of impartation, because once you get impartation, you can be sent out and still be under, but now you can be sent out to become one of your own, but still under. And a whole lot of people just,
you know
the scriptures, you know the scriptures, I've been great, you know, some were called, some were sent, and some just got up and
just
went.
Let's just go natural on this. Now, the one thing that I've learned, okay, let's just go natural, okay? I'm a platoon sergeant, and just for our folks on the radio show, okay, a platoon is maybe 40 men made up of, say, let's just say 4 squads, okay? Let's say 10 men each squad, okay? So I'm in charge of those with that platoon. However, as a platoon sergeant, I have what's called squad leaders. So over those 10 men, there's a squad leader that's assigned to each one of those 10 men. There's even a platoon leader, you know, which I'll have. But what I want you to see, in each one of those squads, there may be, you know, 2 teams. So there's team leaders. So what I want you to see is the same thing it is spiritually. The same thing we'll see naturally. The same thing we see naturally, we'll see spiritually. We see rank and order. Does that make sense to you?
Mm-hmm.
So here's the thing. Okay, I got my squad leader who sent me out. Okay, he gave me an assignment. But you know what? I'm going to my assignment. I've made it to my. I've done my assignment. Now I'm back at my rally point, and I'm going to check back in. What's my next assignment? Is there anything else I need to do? And what does that squad leader do? He either issues me another order or calls me back in. But yet I'm listening to hear my instruction from my leader. Do you know what I mean? So that's That's the thing that we need to understand in the church. We need to understand natural law to even grasp what spiritual law is, to understand natural authority, even grasp what spiritual authority is. So, again, I just thank God for the experience at such an early age. He gave me that. And, again, not to say I'm perfect because, again, that and I keep hearing that pride, Jesus. You have to pray for pride before this is over. That pride rising up in a man saying that, you can't tell me what to do. And I remember hearing pastors that I sat under saying, my name is on the building. Ultimately, this is the church of God. We are the ecclesia. Mm-hmm. The church itself is just a building. I mean, we the body make up the church. You don't own people. These are God's members. You know, what's this? My members? These are God's members. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Pride. So we need to really, 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 even as we, as pastors, if you're listening out there, I understand the job that you do is not an easy job. Apostles, prophets, it's not an easy job. But God has entrusted into you his people, his sheep, the sheep of his pasture. Too much is given, much is required. I urge you, I beseech you, to go before the face of the Lord, to go before the throne of grace and ask God to give you strategies and wisdom on how to raise up strong, mighty men of valor. The one thing David had for him, too, that's another reason I like David. I can't remember their names right now, but he had some mighty men of valor, some men that would go out and tear some things up. They were powerful men. They did some great exploits, but yet they were submitted to the king. He said, if I could just get a glass of water. They went into the camp of the Philistines, if I'm not mistaken, to endanger their lives just to be a blessing to their leader. But they were submitted to that man of God. You hear what I'm saying, Prophet?
Right.
Do you hear what I'm saying? So
exactly.
These are the things, that pastors out there, if you're listening. It's not that we're telling you don't know your job. You don't know what to do. But the woman of God, when she came on, I heard her heart. I heard what she was saying. And I heard the how can I put this gently? I heard the frustration in her voice. Because it sounds like this isn't the first time this has come up. And we understand, woman of God, I commend you for going out there doing what God has called you to do. But the one thing that I don't want you to do and God doesn't want you to do is to carry to have burdens that aren't yours, false burdens, to carry weights that aren't meant for you, woman of God. So men of God and pastors, whether it be pastors, women, or men, teach your men of God. Instruct them on how to be men. Instruct them on how to be leaders. And instruct them on the laws that God has ordained for headship. See, because the one thing I understand, if I know something, I can do it. I can teach it. Does that make sense to you?
Mm-hmm.
If I'm not sure about something, if I'm not sure how that really works, I may not do it. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Now, if I know something, if I've gotten it, I've been instructed on it, I understand how it works. Now, if I'm walking in rebellion, that's on me. That's not my leader's fault. I was taught how this thing should work. And what I really honestly believe is that some people just don't know themselves, so they're not teaching it. So what I'm saying is go before the Lord. Get into your word even more and ask God, okay, God, you gave me this house. Now give me strategic prayer on how to break the assignments of these Absalom spirits, because that's what it breaks down to, that are in my house. God, give me strategic prayers on how to break the little boy spirit that's in these men that have been in dysfunctional families. God, give me strategic prayers on how to raise up a house of strong men that desire your presence. God, give me strategic prayers on how to break the assignment of that proud man that's been rooted in us from even slavery days. Now we can even go back to ancient days. Now, one of the reasons that I'm talking, and I know we don't want to go, we're going to go there, even African Americans. Now, when we start to look at why we're so dysfunctional in ways, you remember when, you know, in the old days, they would take the strongest of us, the strongest men, and we would just be studded out. Do you know what I mean? And we'd go from house to house producing. So that foul spirit that was even perpetrated in those days, and I hope I'm not out of order, Prophet Ward, I'm just giving the truth. That foul vile spirit has come through bloodline after bloodline, so we need to come together and break that assignment too. It's okay if we talk about this, ain't it?
Oh, go ahead.
So those are some of the things, some of the strategies we need to understand. We need to understand what we're fighting against, because we need to understand the wiles of the devil. So pastors, prophets, men and women of God, these are some of the strategies that God needs is given to break those assignments in your house, to break those patterns, because I know that they're patterns, because I can even see in the spirit a revolving door. Men who have great calls upon their life, men who have great promise on their life, coming in your door, sitting for a season, not feeling fulfilled, the devil speaking in their ear, oh, you can do better than that. Oh, they don't know what they're doing. Oh, God has called you. You need to step out. Stepping out and committing spiritual abortion because you stepped out before your time. Stepping out and committing spiritual abortion because you went out and you went out illegitimately.
Right.
That
right there, you know, talk about impartation. This is something for the earth realm. So this ain't no, yeah, God called me, yeah, you have your anointing, praise the Lord. See, impartation, and it allows ministry to go easy for you. You know, when things happen for me, I can counsel, I mentor. Things, certain stuff just goes easy because I'm under, and it's covered. And when you're under, you know that you have an answer to everything that comes your way. And even when you're really undercovering, God protects you from foolishness. And with a prophetic anointing, you can get connected with people, and he'll reveal their foolishness sooner or later to let you know that you don't need to even be associated with them. You know what I'm saying? So he will reveal this stuff.
The father,
he'll just separate you from stuff. You know, he will help you. He will help you, and he will keep you. And especially at certain levels in ministry, you have to have that. You know what I'm saying? You have to have that covering. You have to have that. You know, a lot of people get in churches and you're there, and because you don't like how the pastor operating and you think you could do better, you go and, okay, God told me to start a ministry and start a church, and, you know, now you out here, boop-de-boo. Okay, what? Okay, God told me to start a church. Okay, where's your evidence in that? Where's your evidence in that? That's like taking somebody out of high school and then, you know, throwing them over here in a psychology practice and saying, you know what, God called me to be a psychiatrist. Okay, I'm going to look at you and say, you know what, the devil is a lie, because you need to go back to school and get proper training so you can be, look, so you can operate legitimately in this office, because the Bible says we are supposed to respect and obey the laws of the land. And so what a lot of us do, and can I say this right quick too, because we got a lot of people in ministry, you ain't even got a 501c3 yet, but you always want something to happen for you. Can you shut everything down and accept the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it? Shut it down and build it from the ground up. Why do you want to be seen and have a ministry when you can't even do the groundwork for it? And it's a good thing. You know, you do ministry, do what you do, but in your mind, you should want to stuff right. What is it about you when you don't want to do it right? What is it about you that you can't, you know, listen to order? What is it? And you have to answer these questions about yourself, because if you're really going to be anointed in the earth realm and really going to operate in the anointing God has for you, you're working too hard to get something that can be freely given to you if you will just submit.
Wow, that right there, you just said a mouthful. Now I'm going to go back to my roots of the Church of God in Christ. Don't get me wrong. I don't talk against denominations. We're not denominational now, but I thank God for the foundation that was given me there. I was at a smaller church. My pastor was a former Navy man, understood authority, and he was a man of authority under authority. But the thing was, I got a good foundation, not only how spiritual order works and natural order works, but I got a good foundation of the Word. You know what I mean? The understanding of the Word. The one thing that I'm maybe nitpicking, there's so many churches that you just got a pastor preaching four times or three times a week or two times. Where's the Bible study? Where do people learn the Word? There's another problem right there. You preaching at me, you're not teaching me anything. So I'm going to be ignorant. I'm not going to understand how things work. So we need to get back to foundation in our churches. We need to get back to, once we get back to that foundation and do something you said was powerful about Jesus, he made disciples.
Right.
The disciples became apostles.
Now, that right there, can we regress to that? I want to talk about the difference between the mentor and discipleship because, and I wanted you to talk about that a little bit because mentorship, the Bible doesn't say mentorship. The Bible says disciple. And there's a key difference that I know God revealed to me, and I want you to talk a little bit about that. But mentorship denotes more of a duplication where you have discipleship. In order to disciple somebody, you yourself have to be an expert teacher. See, I just said something. I thank you, Jesus. Because see,
what I got to say about it, you know.
Because see, I just thank you. You know, but I want you to talk about it because think about it. When you disciple somebody, you have to be an expert at this thing because then you have to be able to look at somebody with the prophetic anointing, see the depth of their spirit. You have to know that what their strengths are, what their weaknesses are, and not use them against the person. You have to love them. You have to be there in the morning hours, in the night hours. You have to be there. Be vulnerable to that person, but you help that person, and your goal is to cover that person in their inadequacy. Your anointing is strong enough to cover them in the anointing so no one else can see their inadequacy while God is preparing them until they get to the point where you can say, you know what, God is done with this. Now you can go out on your own and you're self-sufficient because my purpose in your life was to cover you and to help until you found out who God called you to be.
Jesus.
That's
now,
almost like,
let's just talk about that. Let's just talk about that. You took care of mentoring and discipleship, but let's just talk about holding on too long. Now, we're supposed to disciple.
Well, hold on. Now, Private Grant, hold up. Let me finish this thing because you're going to tag team the end of it. So let me finish out this top real quick. You can already grab that. Let me get the top real quick then and finish that out because we have the mentor, the world mentors. So when you see somebody that's a mentor, let's say somebody sees Juanita Bynum and you see a lot of the females, they say, oh, I want to preach like her, I want to act like her, I want to wear. So they get their mannerisms, they watch the way she preached, they get all of that stuff, and then they superimpose that on their self. They superimpose that on their self, and so now mentorship says, you have to act like I act, do what I do, look like I look to get what I got. That's mentorship. So mentorship is
Jesus. Duplicate
my image, duplicate my personality, and duplicate what I've done, and you can get what I got. But discipleship says, you know what? I know I'm a great gift, and I know what I've done in life, but guess what? The first thing about discipleship, the person that you are discipling, you know that they are going to be greater than you are. That's the first principle. So you got to be secure enough in yourself to know what you have. You have to also be secure enough in yourself to know that everything you have, you might have to give it to this person and use everything in your power to push this person to the forefront. Because they're going to have to step on top of your back to get to where they are. And whether they recognize you or not, that is what your purpose is in life is to do. You're to pour out into that person and pour all your giftings and your talent into them. Help them to become the tailor-made person or the tailor-made anointing that God is making them to be. So that they can go out and the anointing is being duplicated. It's being added to, but it's also getting greater and greater and greater. So all the works that I did, all the people that I helped, I automatically know you're going to help more people. You're going to have more money. It's going to come easier for you. I'm going to impart this thing to you, and you give it to them, and then you help them, and you work with them, and then God raises them up, and everything you did becomes nothing to them because they can do it just like that. And now they can trailblaze and do, greater works than what you have done.
According to John, the 14th chapter, because I go unto the Father, these works you shall do and greater. Because of the impartation of the Holy Spirit, and because of the things that you've seen me do, and because of what I've transferred to you, Jesus.
Now that reverse, what that? Now you caught the reverse. And see, the problem is, and I'm gonna end it like this, and then let you tag team that thing. Because see, when you have sat under and you have been discipled, true discipleship is a season, so that you can become a father yourself. Jesus discipled those guys. And he anointed them. He breathed on them the Holy Ghost. And you don't see nowhere in Scripture where they was looking for Jesus every time they had to lay hands and pray or do this or do that. Now, there was a couple of cases, but guess what? In the New Testament, Jesus was gone to the Father. But guess what? They traveled the world, and they made disciples, and they poured out into other people. And they went out and did what they did. You see Paul writing letters to his disciples, giving them instruction and helping them. But Paul ain't running around every time something go wrong, running up to them saying, do this and do that. He's giving them spiritual instruction on certain matters so that they can take that instruction, combine it with the Holy Spirit, and that the Holy Spirit will tailor make revelation and instruction and wisdom for what's going on in their life, in their part of the world. So there's a time and a season where you're to be released. And then I think that goes into what you were saying, because you were saying that the problem is some folks don't know when to release or when to let go. And then I'm going to say this. Some people don't know when people send you out. Sometimes you got to tell them, it's not time for me to go.
Jesus. Now, and you also, so I won't send you out because you're not my clone yet.
Now,
Some
folks got that.
I don't see enough of me in you yet, so it's not time to send you out. But God made me completely different.
Exactly.
I may have the impartation of the grace that's upon your life, but I'm a whole different person, baby. I'm going to do something. I'm going to shake this world up. See, God gave me that measure of grace that was inside of you. See, you went through some battles and some things. You've given me enough wisdom not to go through those same things that you did. So I'm about to springboard. I'm about to leap into the atmosphere and just shake up the atmosphere.
Hey, oh, my God. And you have to. See, and it takes somebody who is settled, and it really takes a secure person to be like me. I can sit back and watch people that I've helped and poured into and equipped, and I can watch them do great things. There are a lot of people doing stuff now that'll never tell you I helped them do it, that'll never come back and say thank you, that'll never say, you know, if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't even be here. I'm talking about people you done prayed through in the midnight hour, people you done cast the devil out of, people you done gave money to, people you done gave cars to, people you done helped, people you done sold into. I mean, people you gave knowledge, people that just call you to pick your head for knowledge because they too lazy to read their Bible. They call you because they know you know it. All this stuff that you've done, and you got to be secure to sit back and say, you know what? Bless them. Our God do it for them. And watch them go further and know that, you know what? I'm just called to do what I'm called to do. If God just called Jesus to disciple those 12 apostles of the Lamb, and he imparted his spirit to them 500. Now, look at what they did. Look at what that little 500 and some people did from that point in time up to now.
Mm-hmm.
So he just
in the book of Acts.
Do...
I'm go sorry, ahead. Go ahead.
No.
In the book of Acts, it says that these men have turned the world upside down. And I know our time is far short, but I just want to piggyback on what you're saying. I'm a father. I've got an 18-year-old. And I know that the hell, the literal hell that I went through in my life because of drug abuse, because of disobedience, because of flat out rebellion, and understanding my bloodline. So my prayer as I got saved was to, first of all, I understanding spiritual law again, and understanding scripture, understanding that the curses that were upon my life from my bloodline, because according to Galatians, Jesus became a curse for us. Because curse
right.
any man hang on the tree, that
yes.
doesn't have to transfer. You know what I mean? And the devil being a legalist and who he is, if I don't know that, he says, I got fair game. If you fair game, I can take your seat.
Oh,
because he's
God.
A legalist. But devil, you're a lie. You're a father of lies. So I know we only got a few. Let me just hit this point.
No, we
so
have time.
Now,
we have about 30 minutes left on the show. We have 30 minutes left because I extended the show. It was 90 minutes, but I extended it because this is a different show. I extended the show because we're talking about subjects here. I really think this is really going to help people because I want people to hear the show, listen to the conversation, maybe send it to somebody, but get some revelation, get something from it, not just to hear some people talking and running their mouth. And, you know, I'm going to say this, I'm going to shut up so you can finish. You said something, and the Lord just showed me a title for a book called The Devil is a Lawyer.
My God, that's good all by itself. And if you get the revelation out of what you just said, the devil is a lawyer, because the lawyer will take the law and twist it. The lawyer will take the law and use it against you.
I'm telling you. And you know what? And see, this is what happened. People got that for free. That's for free, right? Somebody can be listening to this. Somebody can take that title. They can write them a book. And because they didn't court, you know, it's what it is. But anyway, you both got a prophetic. Go ahead.
Anywho. But what I'm saying, because the devil is a legalist, if I didn't know who I am in Christ, and I didn't know that I have the power to bind and loose in the spirit, If I didn't know I had whatsoever I bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, whatsoever I loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. If I didn't know these things, the devil would be able to run roughshod on my seed. But what I'm saying is this. The grace that's upon my life, the prophetic grace, the strong mantle of deliverance, the spirit of intercession that God transferred into me, now in the next generation, it's got to be stronger. Because I've trailblazed, as you said, I'm talking natural father now, and we're talking natural children. That grace is still upon me. It has to be transferred to my children. It has to go someplace. But I saw this weekend, we were at a revival just yesterday. Pastor John Kilpatrick, the Baal Holy Spirit that Mobile, Alabama revival that's outpouring. I saw the grace, the prophetic grace that's upon my daughter activating. I saw the prayer mantle, the deliverance being activated and being used. And I saw that the prayer that I prayed, I saw that the how rough I was on her, mentoring and molding and making her. I see that I can maybe let off the reins a little bit because she isn't going to be exactly like me. Do you know what I'm saying? The grace is there, the power is there, the anointing is there, but there's a different person there. Do you know what I'm saying? So she isn't going to do everything I do, but yet there's still that bloodline. So I got to watch the bloodline.
and you said
be strategic and pray.
See, and you said something that I failed to mention about mentorship. Mentorship is for Lord have mercy, Jesus. Mentorship and discipleship can be one on the same line. Where mentorship stops, discipleship takes over. But watch this. Mentorship is for a person who does not know who they are. So they need to be. It's almost like a baby who needs to be breastfed in order to stay alive. So mentorship is for the person who don't know who they are, but they need to stay alive. They need to be alive spiritually. So that's when that person comes and say, no, this is what you need to do. You need to do this. No, read this. No, do this. Don't go there. Do this, do that. That's where that mentorship, because those, almost like the law was a teacher. That's what mentorship is truly for. It's not for the duplication, but it's to give the person, you're giving the person something to hold on to that they can try to emulate while they're trying to find out who they really are. And it's up to the master teacher or the teacher who is watching over them to realize, okay, this is who God calls you to be. So they'll know when that person has walked into who they really are and who they are supposed to be. And like you were saying with your daughter, you mentored your daughter. We a lot of people mentor their kids. Their kids, when they're born, they're babies. They don't know who they are. They don't know where to go. Mm-hmm. They don't know what to do. You mentor them. Why? You use what you've learned in your life, and you lead them for a season. But when they become teenagers and stuff, then their self-identity starts popping up. And, yeah, folks got to find out, you know, what are your talents? What are you called to do? What is going on? And then the mentorship of those years of pouring into them pops up. And it's just like in the spirit. But when you can tell when someone is in church, someone has not been mentored by the spirit of the Lord, and a lot of people go, you know, real deep, the spirit of the Lord through your spiritual leaders, it is still the Holy Ghost. God reveals through man. If the Bible says that God will do nothing in the earth realm except you reveal it to his servants, the prophets, then where are the prophets? The prophets are in the earth realm. Then that means what God is going to do has to come through the systems of this earth realm. It has to first be revealed through the systems of this earth realm. So if anything's going to get to us, God is going to put his super on the natural. That means it's going to come through this physical realm. And so people get all deep and say, oh, I'm just over here. Hello. You know, I know God talked about Paul and Paul had his Arabian experience. But a lot of us just want to stay on the mountaintop, you know, with Moses getting the Ten Commandments for your whole life. So you never ever came down. So you can sit under, and if you never ever came down, you just stayed on the mountain the whole time. So you can say, I don't answer to nobody. Don't nobody tell me what to do. I do what I want to do. The only person I answer to is God. And the devil, he is a liar.
You're the father of lies. And I know there's, again, I just want the listeners to hear this. There's pastors out there. There's apostles. There's prophets. We are not bashing. We are bringing
exactly.
revelation to what's going on in this present time. Didn't God say we need a present truth? A present truth word. Ain't that what the word said? Present truth is what we're releasing here. We're releasing some things that we have been ignorant of. We cannot be ignorant of Satan's devices. We cannot be ignorant of Satan's devices. The one thing that I was watching the movie, and I'm a big movie buff. Hey, pray for me,
right.
Okay? But anywho, and I believe it was Michael Jai White. He said something. He said the biggest lie that the devil has perpetrated is that he don't exist.
Mm-hmm,
so we need to understand how Satan works. We need to understand who he is, and he truly is. He is in this earth realm, and we need to be able to combat him. We need to have strategies of prayer, and we need to see the devil, because that's what the prophets will do. Those watchmen that are on the wall, both day and night, they'll see the devil afar off, and they'll give you strategies. Okay, he's coming from the east today, and what he's going to do is try to break down the east wall. So we need to fortify that area. So all we're doing is giving you strategies to fortify that area, to fortify your intercession. So okay, now. Okay, we hear that there's there's not the sons out there are being led astray. They're going out there, they're committing spiritual abortion. Okay, I'm a leader. Okay, now God, you've called me, and I know you've called me. I've been called for such a time as this. Father, I repent that maybe I've let some slide by the wayside, and you can't be too proud to admit that. I'm not saying everybody out there has done that, but hey, it happens. So now the word of God has been, the word or the present truth has been revealed through God's servants, the prophets. Now I need to take back what I'm hearing on tonight, and I need to go back, first of all, consult God for the strategic things I need. Also take some of the rhema that's been released by the prophets and the prophetic words that have been released today and build up my walls. Build up my walls
exactly.
of intercession. So the men of God that their destiny has been aborted will not be that spiritual abortion won't happen again. And if it does, I can go back and I can see what happened, and I can see the enemy operating in that son, and I can go back with loving kindness and draw him back into the fold, and then restore him, and then pour back into him. Okay, God, I'm sorry I messed this one up, but guess what? I got a second chance. I can pour back into him. I can build him up. I can build the foundation, give him a strong foundation. Now that foundation is built. Now I can truly impart, because you are now a disciple and a son. Now you can receive what I have for you, and now I can send you out. That's
exactly.
all God is asking for to happen. That's all.
And it takes integrity. And it just takes integrity and character. It just takes a little character and integrity, you know, and why can't we do that? You know what I'm saying? People do that, you know, you have people, and it's not just in organizations either. You know, if you're a pastor or a leader, you may hear this just because you're in Full Gospel Baptist Fellowship or coaching or PAW and you get a position as a pastor, doesn't mean that God legitimately placed you there. It means you're in an organization and that's what you wanted and you did what you needed to do to get what you wanted. We have to know that God called us to do this, that, or the other. And when God calls us to do what we do, when he calls us to do what we do, we know that it's legitimate, and we know that no one can take it away. And we are about to go into a short break, and when we come back, we're going to pray, and we're going to close up this show with the last segment. You are listening to the
Amen.
Strategic Prophetic Radio Broadcast with your host, Calvin Ward. Stay tuned.
There are diversities of gifts, but the same spirit.
God is unifying his children from across the globe to join
Word of
Life Ministries, Women of Virtue, and Men of Valor, along with Apostle Ernest
and Prophetess Barbara Taylor, to this year, 2011, Word of Life Ministries
Men
and Women's Prophetic Prayer Gathering, entitled Kingdom Explosion,
Dual Invasion 2, September 16th
and 17th at the beautiful
Renaissance Hotel in Schaumburg, Illinois.
And September 18th
at Word of Life Ministries in Beach Park, Illinois,
where miracles flow daily. This year's speakers are
Bishop Harold Calvin Ray,
Pastor Brenda Ray,
Apostle Stephen Garner,
Apostle Norris Johnson, and Prophetess Sheila Spencer.
If you don't want to miss this explosive move of God, registrations are now being accepted. Please visit us at www.wordoflifeministriesintl.org
or call 847-263-9860. All for the kingdom. Don't miss this awesome move of God. Watch God show up and show out.
We're going to go into our segment of the show.
I want
y'all to stay tuned.
Thank you.
You are listening to the Strategically Prophetic Broadcast.
So
your host,
like you.
Calvin Stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
These praises. Whatever call, whatever price, to Jesus Christ, I'll give my
broadcast with your host Calvin Ward. I want to welcome you back from a short break. We are about to end the show with the last 10-minute segment here. We've been talking about the doctrine of impartation. I pray that we've covered this topic thoroughly. If you are listening, tune in. We want you to also send this message out to a leader or a pastor that you know. Tell us how we have blessed you. Well, I want to welcome you back to the show. We have really, I believe, gotten into this subject. We've really dug into this subject. We've really shared some revelation. The Holy Spirit has really shared the revelation, and he's gotten into this subject. He's covered some different facets of the subject as far as order, you know, waiting to be sent out, mentor versus the disciple, the balance of the relationship between the two. Prophet Gray hit on, you know, Samuel. He hit on some Old Testament examples. You know, he hit on Samuel in the Old Testament and hit on his two sons. He hit on David as well as far as the worship. He hit on the prophetic. He talked a little bit about Gehazi, you know, with Elijah. You know, we're talking about the anointing and impartation and how, you know, if we're not prepared for it, God's not going to give you something you're prepared for. That will kill you. You know, Gehazi had an anointing that was to come to him, but he was out of order. And his spirit was found wanting, and he really didn't receive his father's portion. And so that's really what it is about. It's really about receiving your father's portion, not receiving someone famous's portion. But who is your father? Your father might be the pastor right down the road from you. So it might be the guy right down the street from you. It may be the guy in the next state over from you. And it might be the person across the country. So find out who your father is in the gospel. You can receive your father's portion. Pastor, well, Prophet Gray, culture pastor, Prophet Gray, Prophetess Archer Gray, let's get into this and let's close now. Let's begin with praying. I'm going to let you guys pray. I'll let y'all come in and pray. Let's pray like Prophetess Archer says, she want to pray with the men. So let's pray, Prophet Gray, I'll have you pray for the men as far as this impartation is concerned and God sending order in their life concerning that and just revelation. And then Prophetess Archer, because I know you've been kind of quiet, but I know how you are. You've been sitting in the back just chilling. In the spiritual cut, just gleaning. But can we get you to pray for the women? Well, so for a few minutes. So can we get both of you to just pray for the men and the women? We get Patrick to pray for the men for 2 or 3 minutes, and Prophetess Gray to pray for 2 or 3 minutes, and then we'll just close. And I think this has been a wholesome show tonight. So I'll turn the mic over to you guys.
Thank you. I just want everyone to understand. This is just revealed knowledge. We are truly kingdom minded people. We truly want the kingdom to grow on today. Jesus taught his disciples to pray, "Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done." And that's all we want is the kingdom to grow. We want the will of the Father to be done. And we just want to be those vessels that are used to bring present truth and just to bring revelation to the body of Christ, so that the body of Christ can be strengthened and the spirit of division that lives in our body be broken. So, Father, we just thank you on today, God. We thank you for your word, oh, Father. Father, we thank you most of all, God, we thank you for the spirit of God that dwells inside of us on today, God. Father, we thank you for revealed knowledge on today, God. We thank you, God, that you took that logo and logos and made it rhema. Now, Father, we pray for every listener on today, God, every pastor, God, every man, every woman of God on today, God, in the name of Jesus, God, that they would have an ear to hear what the spirit of the Lord is saying on today, God. We bind the hand of the enemy, God, that comes against pastors, God. It comes against lay members, God, men of God who have been called, God, who there's a call upon their life, God. We come against that spirit of abortion that the enemy has, Lord God, set for them on today, God, in the name of Jesus, God. That spirit that would make them, God, jump out before their time on today, oh, Father, in the name of Jesus, God. Father, we break the assignment of pride, God, associated with that spirit, God, in the name of Jesus, God. We lay the axe to the root of that spirit, God. And, Father, on today, God, that we ask that you raise up strong men, oh, God, in the name of Jesus, God. Men who are of authority and under authority, God. Men who would know their place in the kingdom, God. Men who would not be insecure, oh, Father, in the name of Jesus, God. Men that would have such a humble spirit, God, they would be able to sit, God, until such a time as you call them out, oh, Father, in the name of Jesus, God. Men that would be able to receive a word, oh, God, in the name of Jesus, God. Men that would sit under their leaders, oh, Father, in the name of Jesus. Now, Father, we even pray for the leaders, oh, God, that they have a listening ear on today, God. We pray, God, that you would release prayers of strategic prayers to them on today, oh, Father, in the name of Jesus, God. Prayers, God, that would cause the walls of intercession to be raised again, oh, God, so the enemy can't creep in unawares, oh, God, in the name of Jesus, God. Prayers that would cause them, God, to be the fathers, God, the fathers in the gospel that you called them to be, oh, God, in the name of Jesus, God. Prayers, God, that would cause them, God, to be keen in the spirit, God, so they may be able to call, well, God, this one out and call that one out, God, and begin to activate, God, the gifts that are inside of them, oh, God. Because even as Paul said, told Timothy, that he laid his hands on them, God, to stir up the gifts inside of them, oh, Father, in the name of Jesus. God, give them the wisdom, oh, Father, not to make clones, oh, God, but, God, to stir up the gifts that's inside of each and every man of God that sat under them, God, and to release them, God, into the purpose and the destiny that God has called them into, oh, Father, in the name of Jesus, God. So we bind the spirit of deception, we bind that spirit of pride, and we just speak revelation, God. We speak wisdom, God. We speak understanding, God. We decree these things, God. You said if we decree it, it shall be established, God. In Jesus' name, we pray. Thank God. Amen. And my amen. And my wife will pray for the women. Is that what you asked her to do, man
of
God?
Yes. Yes, yes, please. Okay. She can pray for the women in that aspect, and then we'll just close this out.
Okay, she has a slight equipment malfunction, so she's getting it together here.
Oh, well, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Well, we just bind
Amen.
That up. No, let me stop. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Oh, I can
praise
hear
Lord.
You.
Hallelujah, Lord. We thank you, God. We bless you, Father. We adore you, Lord God. We thank you for the women, Lord God, that you have called, Father, to do your work, Lord God, to do your will, Father. We thank you, Lord God, that you're giving them knowledge, wisdom, and understanding, Lord God, in their role, Lord God, in ministry right now, Father. We thank you, Lord God, that you're allowing them to see, Father,
yes, Father,
exactly what they're supposed to do, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. We bind the hand of the enemy
yes,
that will come in, Lord God, and cause confusion for the women, Father. In the mighty name of Jesus, we declare and decree right now, God, that you would nurture them, Lord God, that you would teach them, Lord God, your will and your way, Lord God, what your ministry is about for them. In the mighty name of Jesus, we declare right now, Father, that you would teach them, Father, your will, your way, Lord God, and what you have called them to do, Father, that your Holy Spirit, Lord God, would minister to them day and night, God, regarding the ministry you have set before them, Father, in the precious name of Jesus, Father. We thank you, God, for the strength that you're releasing unto the women
yes,
right now, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for the joy that you're giving them right now,
yes,
Lord God,
Father,
in ministry right now, Father. In the precious name of
in
Jesus,
the name of
Satan,
Jesus.
You are bound. You are defeated. The blood of Jesus is against you. You will not cause confusion in the airways. You will not cause confusion in ministry any longer. We plead the blood of Jesus over every mind, for every minister, every apostle, every preacher, every pastor right now,
hallelujah,
every teacher right now, evangelist right now, in the mighty name of Jesus. We call them out of the dump now. In the mighty name of Jesus, you will not have them. You will not take their minds. You will not take their hearts out of God. In the mighty name of Jesus, I declare this right now. I decree it right now in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, I ask right now, Father,
yes, Father,
that you move by your spirit, Father, upon every minister, Lord God,
yes, God,
every person, Lord God, that you have called to do your will. And I'm reminded, Lord God, when you begin to gather the disciples together, Lord God, and you begin to teach them, and you told them, Father, to go ye therefore and to teach all nations, Lord God, to cast out devils, lay hands on the sick, and they should recover, Lord God, and to call those souls in, Lord God. And so, Father, on today, Father, we're asking that you remind, Lord God, oh, Lord God, rest that high. Every person, God, that is walking in ministry right now of what their call is, we take them back to the foundation, Father. You said to bring the souls in, Lord God. You said to cast out devils, to lay hands on the sick, Father. You said, Father, to go and get the souls, Father. And so right now, Father, we lay the charge upon these men and women right now, Lord God. We lay the charge upon us even now, God, in the precious name of Jesus. And God, we say, have your way right now, God. Have your way, Lord God. Loose your spirit inside of us, Lord God.
stir up the gifts in each and every one of us, Lord God, that is walking in your will or walking in your way, Lord God. Those of us that you have called, God, to do your will, Father, we ask right now, Lord God, that you stir us up, God, that you stir us up, Lord God. Lead us and guide us. Give us your wisdom, your knowledge, your understanding right now, Father, in the precious name of Jesus. We declare it right now, God. We declare it for the women, Lord God. We declare it for the men right now, Lord God. We declare it for your kingdom, Lord God. Your kingdom, Father. It's about your kingdom, Lord. It's not about us any longer, Lord God, but it's about your kingdom, Father. And so, God, we say have your way in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Glory, God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah,
Lord God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus.
And I think I know that went on these airwaves in Jesus' name, and people that are listening, I know, you know, Providence Archer, you have the prayer. You have your prayer. Excuse me.
Prayer blog.
You have your prayer blog, your prayer show that you have. And we want to let folks know, you know, they need to tune into that. I need to tune into that a little bit more myself, but they need to tune into that because we want people to get a taste of that prayer. People need that. People need to, you know, a whole lot of people can pray for you, but it's something different when somebody prays for you that's praying out of love and that's praying out of power and that's praying out of experience. It's a whole different type of prayer. So you can tell when people are praying from the throne room versus they're just praying from 18 inches from their heart, which is their brain. They're praying from their head and not from their heart. And
Jesus.
You can tell when people are praying from there or when people are actually going in. So it's a blessing when we do have people that do so. I want to thank you guys for coming on the show on tonight. I want to thank you guys for being here. I appreciate you guys for coming out.
No problem.
We can get you guys back another time. We definitely want to get you guys back.
Hey, and just a plus, I hate to interrupt you, but her show is 6 a.m. Saturday mornings on Blog Talk Radio.
6 a.m. Saturday mornings on Blog Talk Radio, and what's the name of it?
Prayer of Faith.
Prayer of Faith, 6 o'clock on Saturday morning. This has been Strategically Prophetic Podcast with Calvin Ward. Be blessed.